We're starting our classes on the Haggadah. We're doing it a little different this year. Ordinarily, we would have the model Seder. What we're going to do now is have a class on the Seder, on the Haggadah, and we'll work our way through it in a few series. So there's a pamphlet which is available online, and Bezrat Hashem will print it out for next class, which is a pamphlet with an overview of what we have to do for Pesach. So what do we need to do for Pesach? We need to get rid of our chametz, right? We need to buy matzah. Some people use machine matzah, other people use hand matzah, but you need matzah that's kosher for Passover. You need to have a place where you'll be at for the Seder, and you need to have food for the Seder. What are we going to eat at the Seder? So we'll need 4 cups of grape juice for each participant, kadesh, right? Grape juice or wine, we'll discuss that. We're going to wash our hands at the Seder, so we need to have a cup to wash our hands with, and we need dishes, we're going to eat a meal. We have the Seder plate. On the Seder plate, what do we have? We have maror. What is maror? Maror is a type of species. There are 5 different plants which are included in that species, one of which is lettuce, or others say romaine lettuce, so you need to get lettuce that's going to be clean of bugs. Or else you have to learn how to clean your lettuce, because the bugs get camouflaged there. It's difficult to clean. If you buy in the United States lettuce, Dole lettuce, sometimes they have with an OU or Star K, those are okay. You just rinse them off, and those are fine, because they have pre-washed lettuce. And the washing is done with such a high jet stream that the reason they're giving you a hechsher on that lettuce is not like here in Israel to tell you Trumos and Maestros were taken off, but rather they're telling you it's bug-free. So that's okay, that's fine lettuce. Now, if you're going to use horseradish, which many Ashkenazi Jews traditionally use, so it has to be ground horseradish without additives. Maror has to be clean. Some companies produce horseradish which is pickled in vinegar. So if you look at the ingredients and there's horseradish and vinegar, that's not kosher for the Seder. Might be kosher for Passover, but that's not kosher as maror. If they make the horseradish red by adding beet juice to it, that also disqualifies the horseradish. You may not use that for the Seder night. We're going to see that we ingest the volume of a kezias, the size of an olive, twice. We ingest the size of an olive, a kezias of maror, that volume of maror twice at the Seder. And that's why for children or for the elderly, it's recommended to use lettuce, bug-free lettuce, obviously, as opposed to horseradish, because it's very hard to digest, the horseradish. It's very sharp. What else are we going to have? We're going to eat meat. We're going to have a meal. We're going to have karpas, a vegetable which we dip in salt water. So we need some kind of green vegetable, like a pepper or the like, if you have clean celery. And you need salt water, which you prepare before Yom Tov. What else do we need?
I have a quick question on karpas. I've heard it's like a legitimate custom now, at least for Russians, to use a potato instead of green vegetable, in Russia they didn't have access to green vegetables, so they had to use potatoes, but then become accustomed to do it.
Right. You can't say they're wrong, even though it's probably more correct to use a green vegetable, but if that's the custom someone has, they could do that. Yes?
Can your maror double up as a karpas
also? Lechatchila, we do not use the same maror as karpas. But the Eved, you could. Lechatchila, not. It's discussed in the Mishnah. Lechatchila, you won't use lettuce as karpas as well. And we'll discuss the idea behind karpas. So we're going to have a matzah plate. You should have some kind of bag to put your afikomen in. That's always helpful. And you need a pillow to lean on. You need a wine goblet that's kosher for Passover, just like all the other dishes, to make kiddush and drink your 4 cups. And you need a good haggadah. So a good haggadah, I recommend you get one in a language you're comfortable with. And you start preparing now. You have a month to prepare. In a month from now is Pesach. So it's highly recommended that you start preparing now. Prepare Divrei Torah. Our goal in this class is first and foremost to understand the halachot, the basic understanding of what's happening the Seder night. And if possible, we'll add Divrei Torah as we go along. But my main purpose is to get the basic understanding, because most people don't really understand what they're doing at the Seder. Okay, so that's our goal. The night before Pesach, we do Bdikat Chametz. Those of you who are leaving early will do Bdikat Chametz before you leave. You're responsible to check your garments, to check your bed, to check your closets. If you have a cubby, if you have a cubby in the Bet Midrash, any area that's under your domain, you're responsible to check and ensure that it's chametz free. Any area that might have chametz in it. You know, most people don't bring chametz into the bathroom, so you don't have to check the bathroom. If people have a medicine cabinet in the bathroom, and they might have, we have shemen nevat chita, that's oil that's expressed from wheat. They use it for vitamin E. Very often the vitamin E oil is pure chametz, and it's edible. People eat it, people drink it. So then you'd have to check your bathroom. If you're bringing into your bathroom alternative medicines or vitamins, some of those can be chametz. So then you would have to check in your bathroom if you have a medicine cabinet that way. You have to check your car. If you don't yet have a car, then I wish you, if it's right for you, then in the right time you should have one. There's an old joke. Maybe you shouldn't quote it at home, but there was a Hasidic Rebbe who was known for his sharp wit, and his wife was known for her sharper wit. So it's the joke goes, true story, that at the end of the Bdikas Chametz, I'll tell the joke in a minute, okay? I just need one more intro so we understand the joke better, okay? I'm sorry. We'll get back to the joke in a second. There's one more thing you have to do, and that is sell your Chametz. Through a rabbi, we generally sell our Chametz to a non-Jew. Why do we do that? Because sometimes you have things like mouthwash. So there are people who cannot get normal alcohol and they'll drink mouthwash. Mouthwash is actually edible. It's not recommended. It's not healthy. But you can't say it's not edible because you see people do eat it. So mouthwash has alcohol in it. And much of the alcohol is actual chametz. So we have all kinds of chametz in our possession which we don't necessarily get rid of. So what we do is, if you can get rid of all your chametz, that's great. It's still recommended that you go to the rabbi. And through the rabbi, you sell your chametz to a non-Jew. We are permitted to have closed-off areas in our house where we've sold the chametz in those areas to a non-Jew. Some have the custom that they won't sell actual chametz. They'll only sell things like I mentioned, like a mouthwash or medicine or things like that. But others will even sell whole chametz. And it's permissible. You can do that. You close off those sections and you label them so that no one will mistakenly access them over Pesach. And through the rabbi, you sell to a non-Jew. Now, what happens if you're going to be in California for Pesach? So then your Pesach is going to come in how many hours after our Pesach? After Pesach in Israel? It's much more than 9 hours. Now, 9 hours after Israeli Pesach. If the rabbi sells it in Israeli time, that's okay. The problem is if he buys it back, so he's buying it back when it's still Pesach. He's buying it back on your behalf. You're going to be repossessing your chametz. What happens is after Passover, the rabbi buys it back. When you appoint him as your messenger, you appoint him to sell it before chametz and buy it back at the end of Pesach. So if he buys it back an hour after Pesach is out here in Israel, so then he'll be buying it back while it's still Pesach by you in California. So you have to find a rabbi who can do it on your times. There are rabbis who have a lot of congregants or constituents who travel, and then they have different times at which they sell and different times at which they buy back the chametz from the non-Jew. Chabad has a website which takes all of this into account. You could do it through their website. So that's something you have to be careful about. Once you've sold it to the non-Jew, you're not supposed to access it. It's his. You're not supposed to steal from someone else. Doesn't matter if he's Jewish or not. Okay, so back to our story. So this rabbi, this Hasidic Rebbe, finishes the night before Pesach. He checks the whole house, and his wife says, okay, are we chametz free? And he goes, no, we got one more big piece of chametz, he says, looking straight at her. So she says, oh, you don't have to worry about that big piece of chametz. My father already sold me to a goy. So back to our Seder preparations. Actually, one of the things that a person has to be careful to do is express his appreciation. As a person is checking, and he's checking through the house, customarily the night before Pesach, we make a blessing Baruch Ta Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shekidishan Menstav Tzivanu Al Biur Chametz. And then we start looking through the house. Traditionally, we begin the search by candlelight. You could continue by turning on all the lights and turning on a flashlight so you could check under the closets and the corners. So when we do Bedikat Chametz, it's important that at the conclusion of the Bedika, we show appreciation to our wives. They've been working hard to get the house clean. Some have the custom of singing Eishes Chayil when they finish the Bedikat Chametz. Once you make a blessing, you have the rabbinic mitzvah to go through the house and check. It's not yet Pesach, it's the night before Pesach. So you're making a blessing on this mitzvah. Your house members can help you if they're old enough, they're mature enough. So they can help you check, but they should listen to your blessing and say amen. You're not supposed to talk, and you're not supposed to delay the checking of chametz. Comes nighttime, if you have an early Ma'ariv minyan, you can daven Ma'ariv and then check. If you're going to daven later, so then you check right away before Ma'ariv. You don't start eating, you don't start doing other things. Once nightfall comes the night before Pesach, we start checking for chametz. Now, our custom is that we hide 10 pieces of bread. It's important to label where you hid them. I was the kid who hid the chametz and forgot where I hid it. That wasn't so much fun. I know that my children have hidden the chametz and fallen asleep on me, only to be woken up and not know what I was talking about. And I asked them, where's the chametz? And they're like, huh? Boom. Now go fight with a sleeping baby. So it's important that if you're going to let a child hide the chametz, first of all, the chametz should be wrapped. It shouldn't make crumbs all over the house. Secondly, your wife should go with the child and label each place that they've hidden it. And then you start looking around the house. This is the conclusion. Now, you should have been preparing for this. If you come to the house and you haven't done any cleaning, and you only come the night before and you start checking for chametz, so you're going to find a lot of chametz. And it'll take you all night and you still won't have a house clean for chametz. We start preparing for Pesach even now. A month before Pesach, we start cleaning things out. We're going to clean our refrigerators. We're going to line the shelves of the fridge. We're going to clean behind the beds, between the beds. One year I said to myself, I don't have to clean behind the fridge because I never go behind the fridge. And just that year, one of the kids threw the baby's bottle behind the fridge and I had to move the fridge to get the baby bottle. And lo and behold, there was a few pieces of chametz. You could say it wasn't edible. It was edible. It was a mistake. I assumed all year long I don't move the fridge. Why should I move it now? Here you see, that year I had to move the fridge on Pesach and there was chametz. So we clean every place that we might access or every place that the kids might access. If you have small children, so one of the things kids like to do is put chametz in all kinds of places, like behind books. So then you have to take the places that are accessible to the kids and look for the chametz there. Okay, so we make a blessing, we check for chametz. After we finish that, we say in English, you could see on page one over here, that all chametz or leaven that's in my possession, if I haven't seen it in this check, so I want it to be annulled, I don't want it to be in my possession. Okay, the next morning we eat breakfast, and then we take out whatever remaining chametz there is and we burn it. And then after that we say, any chametz or any leaven that's in my possession, whether I know it or I don't know it, I want it to be annulled. Now it's important to do this in the beginning of the morning, because later on in the morning, the prohibition of chametz already settles in and it's too late to make this declaration. So you have to do it early in the morning. You'll see they write over here by 9 o'clock in the morning. That's a safe bet in most of the world. So here you're saying, even if I knew about it, I still want it not to be in my possession. It should be removed. It should be annulled. It should be considered like the dust of the earth. Okay, this year, what day of the week does Pesach fall out on? On a Shabbos or a Sunday? Friday night is Pesach? I don't remember. Okay, so then the pamphlet actually addresses that type of Pesach. Okay, so we light candles in honor of Yom Tov. The women have a custom to make a Shehecheyanu blessing by the candle lighting. If you are lighting candles, if your parents don't light candles, so you make the blessing on the lighting of the candles and you'll leave the Shehecheyanu for Kiddush. The Shehecheyanu is over the holiday. So you light candles, obviously, before Yom Tov comes in. They'll be motzi with the Shehecheyanu, just like they're motzi with the Kiddush. Technically, then you could say Shehecheyanu over the candle lighting. You could. You run into a problem if you're still going to daven mincha, you're not yet accepting the Yom Tov upon you, so you can't make a Shehecheyanu. Right? If you're going to light candles and go to shul and daven mincha, so then in effect you're saying, I'm not yet accepting Yom Tov. So then you cannot make the Shehecheyanu yet. Okay. let's go through the 13 things we sing, and whenever there's a break in the Seder, we sing this. Kadesh, yes. Not necessarily. You could hide 10 loaves of bread and eat them after you found them. Whatever remains, that's what you burn the next morning.
Whatever remains and you're not selling.
Whatever remains and you're not selling, correct. If you cannot burn it, you have to dispose of it a different way. If Pesach falls out on Sunday this year, which it might, then the eve of Pesach is Shabbos. And then, I don't remember which day of the week. I don't have my calendar yet. Okay, one second. I have my calendar there. Baron, thank you. You have to sell your chametz before the day before Pesach. The rabbi is selling it that day, meaning you have to sell it a week before Pesach. Don't wait till the last day. That's too late to sell it. You have to sell it 3 days before Pesach, 4 days before Pesach. Don't wait till the last day because you will not be able to sell it then. Every year I get phone calls, the eve of Pesach, can I sell the chametz through you? No. A, I don't do it at all, and B, the time to do it is 2 or 3 days before Pesach, not the day before Pesach.
Can you sell 3 days before and then go adding chametz?
Yes, because what you're saying is the places that will be labeled on the eve of Pesach, those are the places I desire to sell. So you make the contract, I usually make it 2 weeks before Pesach, just make sure I'm covered. And then the day before Pesach, when the sale will take effect, then you set up the places that are labeled. Usually what we do is when we check for chametz, when we do the bedikas chametz, as we do that, we label. You come to the freezer and your wife says, that all those spices on the side, we're selling. So they should be covered. We said whatever you're selling should be covered so you won't access it. So you put paper over it, you tape paper on that, on the door of the fridge where all those spices are. Or if you're selling off a shelf in the fridge, you put paper around it, you close it off to ensure you won't come to use it on Pesach. And then you label it that this is being sold through the rabbi to the non-Jew. Okay.
So can you sell the fridge and use the freezer?
You can sell the fridge and use the freezer, or sell the freezer and use the fridge. Sure, you could sell a certain section, but you should close off that section. It should not be accessible. Usually we tape up the closets. Sure, you could also, you can do that, no problem. You can do that. Okay. Any more questions? You guys are asking very good and important questions. Okay.